Late yesterday, Goldman Sachs followed other banks in agreeing to pay $5 billion to settle claims that it knowingly sold faulty mortgage bonds in the run-up to the 2008 financial crisis. It's a story told in Michael Lewis's book and the Oscar-nominated movie The Big Short. You know it. After the firewall came down between banks and Wall Street in the 90s, lenders began selling risky mortgages to people who couldn't pay them, then sold the loans to Wall Street, which bundled them in financial instruments. In the film, Christian Bale plays the eccentric real-life trader Dr. Michael Burry, one of the few who figured out these instruments were filled with bad loans. He bets on them failing or shorts them. If he's right, he'll get paid big when they collapse. But his investors don't believe him. They want their money back, and he tries to make his case.
Anyone can see that there's a real estate bubble.
Actually, no one can see a bubble. That's what makes it a bubble.
That's dumb, Lawrence. It's always markers. Mortgage fraud. Quintupled since 2000, and the average take-home pay is flat, but home prices are soaring. That means the homes are debt, not assets.
And it pops. So what's happened since? Barry Ritholtz of Ritholtz Wealth Management joins us first. He's author of Bailout Nation, his look at the crisis. And Barry, you say the film got it pretty much right. So start with the ratings agencies, Moody's, Standards & Poor's. They're supposed to be watchdogs, but they were paid by the very companies whose instruments they were rating.
That's exactly right. This was a major shift in the business model of rating agencies. At one point, they were paid by bond buyers who would subscribe to all of their publications and be able to get a sense on the quality and creditworthiness of these bonds. Well, the business model about a decade and a half ago changed to where the underwriters started paying the rating agencies, and the threat, which was always implicit and made explicit in the film, is if you don't give us the AAA rating we want, we'll go down the street to your competitor and give them the big fat fees and get the AAA we want. Right. And that clearly is what led to Nobel laureate Joe Stiglitz saying that the rating agencies were one of the prime causes of the financial crisis.
Okay, we'll start there because at the end of the film, there's a narrator who lists all the reforms that surely have happened. Bring back Glass-Steagall to separate banks and Wall Street. Take apart the rating system. And then there's this record scratch. And he says, well, actually, no, nothing has changed. Is that true? Has nothing changed with the rating systems?
Well, it's a slight exaggeration. A couple of things have changed, certainly on the legislative side. Dodd-Frank was a huge set of legislation that was passed and continues to be implemented. The capital requirements went up. So some changes have taken place, but we certainly did not undo all of the legislative changes and the radical deregulation that took place that led to the financial crisis. Right.
Well, Gretchen Morgenson writes in the New York Times that the recent SEC regulatory report, which she says was kind of buried, you know, December 28th at the holidays, pretty much says that the rating agencies, you know, it's pretty much the same. And there, you know, are potential problems if you're still paid by the people whose instruments you're rating.
Well, here's what's changed. It used to be that bond buyers and fund managers kind of relied somewhat on the rating agencies. Since the financial crisis, there is nobody in that industry, not a bond buyer, not a fund manager, not a trader, who doesn't know that the rating agency's opinions are not worth the paper they're printed on. And so at least lacking legislation, at least everybody has figured out you cannot rely on the rating agencies. And it'll only take about 20 or 30 years before a new generation of traders completely forgets that lesson.
Well, what about the financial instruments and the slimy real estate agents? We have one who is not coming up in a moment. But the slimy rental agents, like the ones portrayed in the film, who like brag about selling mortgages to people who really can't afford them, pole dancers.
So those were the mortgage brokers. There is a lot of blame to go around. But if you look at the housing market, we had bad agents. We had bad mortgage brokers. We had bad appraisers. And we had very naive and in some places ignorant and greedy buyers who never sat down and figured out if they could afford this house. So it was bad across the board.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, you take on, though, the people who say that the film The Big Short gets it wrong, that it wasn't some of those things that you mentioned. It was the government forcing these poor rental agents to sell homes to the poor. You say no.
Well, if you look at where the biggest foreclosure crisis took place, it wasn't in the inner cities. It wasn't in the poorer parts of the country. It wasn't Oakland or south parts of Chicago or a bad part of Philly or Harlem or wherever. It was places like South Florida and Vegas, all sorts of parts of California. These were suburban retirement communities and expensive houses.
Well, very poor people were still getting stuck with mortgages. They didn't understand, or they had these, you know, rising interest rates that people had buried. And we knew that even before the bubble burst because we met Sylvia Alvarez. Let's bring her in. She's a licensed realtor, executive director of a HUD-certified counseling agency in Tampa Bay, Florida. Sylvia, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Robin.
Hi. Nice to see you again. Or speak with you again. And because we saw you, because you took us during the convention in Tampa to an area of Tampa called Suitcase City. It was astonishing.
That's right.
Remind us, when we walked from house to house to house, what did we see?
It was just, it was blighted. There were, you know, homes that were boarded up. There was just people hanging around. There was no job. So, you know, people weren't paying their mortgages. And actually, Tampa is still number three in the country, leading with foreclosures. So it's gotten better, but not. We still have a lot of work to do.
Well, we spoke with a resident named Miguel on his doorstep about his house. Let's listen.
Property tax keep go up.
The property tax go up even though the values.
And the value in the house go down.
Yeah.
I buy my house for $200,000. Now when I go look at the book, it's $69,000.
So, Sylvia, that's what we were seeing. People's houses were worth far less than their mortgages.
Well, and the reason is the appraisals. It was the appraisers. It was the title companies. It was the realtors. It was the loan officers.
Why is it still happening now?
I think that, well, again, to Barry's point, you know, Florida was really hit hard with this. We're still one of the hardest hit states, and in trying to recover from this, we're still seeing clients in our office who come for foreclosure prevention help that haven't made a payment in 5 years, and they're just now getting around to, you know, their services are just finally getting around to actually start the process.
Well, Sylvia, I know you're going to go see The Big Short this weekend.
I can't wait.
Well,
I'm excited.
Because why?
Well, because I lived it. You know, we knew this was coming. We said it for 2 years before it happened, and we've lived it. Everyone here at the agency, I will tell you, we went 3.5 years without salaries, but there was no money to pay, but we kept on working, and we helped other people. So we helped 10,000 families stay in their homes, but most of us lost our homes as well. So,
did you lose yours?
Yes.
Oh, Sylvia.
We won an award from PBS, WEDU, for Nonprofit of the Year because of the selfless acts of my staff. We have a unique perspective because we could really feel the pain that our clients were feeling. The one good thing that's come out of all of this, the Dodd-Frank has, you know, they mandated the creation of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and they're the new sheriff in town. They have returned $10.3 billion to consumers since they were started, I believe, about 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And, you know, thank goodness we've got them. I know there's a big push to eliminate them or change them in some way, but I'm hoping they stay around for a long time. We need them.
By the way, one of the key changes is that now when you get a mortgage, the documentation that explains it is plain English, and you understand exactly what you're getting. So that's one of the most important things the Consumer Protection Finance Board did, was force these documents to be smaller, plain English, and they also put a grace period in. I think there's a day or a 3-day period after you sign a mortgage you can walk away from it.
Barry Ritholtz is chair and chief investment officer at Ritholtz Wealth Management in New York. He also wrote the book Bailout Nation. Sylvia Alvarez is a licensed realtor. She's with the Housing Education Alliance, the HUD-certified counseling agency. She also wrote the book American Nightmare, Strategies for Preventing, Surviving, and Overcoming Foreclosure. Sylvia, Barry, thank you both so much.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you, Barry.
Thank you.
Boy, and she lost her house because she was just working in the industry and nobody else was making money and couldn't pay her. And what a spiral. Look, have you seen The Big Short? Have you lived The Big Short? We'd love to hear from you.